Streaming sponsored by the Madison Concourse Hotel.
Celebrate New Year's Eve at the Madison Concourse Hotel and Governor's Club. Enjoy live jazz, a surf and turf dinner, comedians, disco with BO5, classic country, a DJ dance party, and a ballroom brunch to start 2025 off right. Details at concoursehotel.com.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 38 days until Donald Trump is sworn in for a second term in the White House. He invited Chinese leader Xi Jinping to his inauguration, but sources tell ABC Xi will not accept. Trump's cabinet nominees continue to meet with lawmakers. ABC's Mary Bruce says the choice for Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth met with a Democrat for the first time, John Fetterman of Pennsylvania.
Fetterman, tight-lipped.
Are you considering voting for it?
You know, so it's just like it's a conversation.
Are you open to supporting him, Senator?
Hegseth has been battling accusations of sexual misconduct, excessive drinking, and financial mismanagement. He's denied it all.
A Florida woman's been charged with threatening her insurance company after it denied her claim. Police say she echoed words that were written on the bullets that killed United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Man charged with killing Thompson, Luigi Mangione, was not a United Healthcare member, according to the company. He remains in custody in Pennsylvania. This is ABC News.
Now this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network, I'm Ted Ayland. Court appearances by three men facing charges in connection to false Republican electors in the 2020 presidential election. Attorney Jim Troupas and two others made initial appearances in Dane County Court Thursday on charges filed by AG Josh Call, which Troupas afterward characterized as lawfare. The wife of a man who allegedly faked his death before traveling to Eastern Europe is filing for annulment of their marriage. Emily Borgwart filed for legal separation from her husband, Ryan Borgwart, one day after Ryan was charged with obstruction in the incident where he allegedly faked his drowning in Green Lake. And Wisconsin has a new case of highly pathogenic avian influenza in a poultry flock. State veterinarian Darlene Conkle says it's in a flock of more than 13,000 turkeys on a farm in Barron County. Conkle says the affected premises has been quarantined and won't move poultry or poultry products. Ted Allen, Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
Partly cloudy and a little warmer today. We'll get to around 18 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, 14. Tomorrow, cloudy with some snow in the morning, then rain in the afternoon. Our high, 37 on Sunday, mostly cloudy with a high right around 40. Celebrate the holidays with a Hallmark-style Christmas in Alexandria, Minnesota. You can find out more at explorealex.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, 4 below zero.
99.7.
Maximum Hits 99.7 Max FM 803 with George Michael on Max FM.
Well, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like you. But I gotta think twice before I give my heart away. And I know all the games you play because I play them too.
Becomes an ocean before you throw my heart back on the floor. Oh, baby, I'll be gone. Because I gotta have faith. I gotta have
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. Dave and Emily with you. 8:06 on Friday the 13th. As a reminder, since it is Friday the 13th, we are running a special deal over at MaxFMBigDeals.com. Shop local, save big. We have our ninth big deal of Christmas. That is 50% off a $25 certificate to Baraboo Music. Today only $12.50. Also, since it is Friday the 13th, the first 13 customers to check out at MaxFMBigDeals.com will get 13% off their entire order, and you need to check out with that and be one of the first 13 customers. Shop local and say big at MaxFMBigDeals.com, Emily.
I know, it's a super good deal. I have to say, like, the first time you mentioned it, I was like, well, I'm going to go on the big deals and I'm going to buy myself some, or not myself, but some Christmas gifts for people. And I sure did. And it was really easy and it's really nice and it's really feels good to support local and you get extra deals. So do that. I literally can tell you as a consumer, I just did that and I got a deal and it was fantastic. So I would highly recommend that. And also, don't forget to text us for our Christmas card. We're getting towards the end of the line here.
Yes, we
cut off date that people can still text to request a card, but it's going to be soon because they're going to go out in the mail. I mean, I would assume in like the next week or so. So
we're
let's
working on it. Yep.
Yeah. Let's make sure to get texting your full name and address for us, folks. And we will get a really awesome Christmas card from Dave and I, special from us to you, doing goofy for the photo shoot and time. So the joy of this season with you via a card. So text in Civic Media app, smash that mouse on the bottom right, hit that text, full name and address, and you'll receive a Christmas card from yours truly on the morning show.
Yep, just texting Christmas card with all that information, and we will hook you up. And also, we want to mention, today is the Reedsburg Living Windows. That is tonight, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Christmas at the North Pole Village. Join downtown Reedsburg's annual Living Windows event. Watch store windows come to life with costume performers. Enjoy caroling, treats, surprises, and horse-drawn wagon rides at the free family event. Santa will be there to meet the kids and hear their Christmas wishes. Don't miss the magic Christmas at the North Pole Village. This is brought to you by Distinctly Downtown Reedsburg. You can go to Reedsburg Living Windows on Facebook for more information. That is tonight. Emily, let's take a quick look at our calendar days.
Yes, let's. And by the way, that little event in Reedsburg sounds lovely. So if you're around, go check that out. It sounds beautiful tonight. On calendar days, what we have today's December 13th is we have National Cocoa Day. I love that. It's cold out. Join us in discovering why cocoa is so well-loved worldwide and why all things chocolate excite us. And I got to say, hot chocolate, cocoa, you know, however we want to name it, it goes back a long time. People have been serving steamed cocoa, steamed chocolate, or warmed chocolate in a cup to people for like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. It was a very special treat back in the day. Now we kind of, you know, maybe take it a little more for granted because it's not so special, but definitely enjoy it today because it's National Cocoa Day.
Yes, it is. Also, it's the U.S. National Guard birthday, so we thank you to everyone that has protected our country and served for centuries. This is a good one. National Violin Day today.
I like that, too. I do love the violin. I have several people in my family that play violin, and it is just, I mean, the way that the, you know, when you listen to a full violin piece and it goes, they get so high up there. I mean, it is just, it's an incredible instrument. So if you play, pick it up. If you haven't picked it up for a long time, pick it up today. Or maybe just, you know, if you use streaming services or whatever, it's so, although please listen to the radio because that's what we do. But if you're in your car or whatever and you use streaming services sometimes, you know, just put in violin music and you will discover some amazing. So definitely enjoy that National Violin Day. It's also National Cream Cheese Frosting Day. So that's what they typically put on carrot cake, which I know is Dave's favorite. So, you know, if you really appreciate Dave, go ahead and just bring him some carrot cake with Cream Cheese Frosting Day because you know what? It's National Cream Cheese Frosting Day today. Yeah. There's another food item that I'll let you talk about, which I find to be interesting on a weather day like today, but whatever. Right. Who cares? It's always good.
National Ice Cream Day. So, yes, it is National Ice Cream Day. Go out and enjoy some ice cream. And you probably won't hear the ice cream truck going through at this time of year, but you know what? There's a time in July for that as well. But today is National Ice Cream Day. So get out and enjoy your ice cream today. Emily, it won't melt. That is for sure.
Totally. You can go walk around downtown with ice cream all day and it wouldn't melt. And you might. Then you go have your cocoa and warm yourself up. It'll be great. It's and carrot cake with cream cheese frosting. It's all about the food. All about the food. Well, happy December 13th, everybody. Friday the 13th, go get your big deals and grand prizes, text to get a Christmas card. And moreover, just thanks for listening. We appreciate you out there, every one of you that's on there. We want to share the love with that Christmas card. So send us your name and address. And otherwise, have a wonderful weekend.
Yes, indeed. Have a wonderful weekend. Emily will be back with you and I on Monday, 7:10. We'll have our next keyword on Monday morning. Our contest continues next week. As she mentioned, it is December 13th. The first 13 customers over at maxfmbigdeals.com get 13% off, so make sure you go do that. And thank you for those who are texting in Christmas card with your name and address to get a Max FM Christmas card. We look forward to being back with you next week. It is More Music Mornings with Dave and Emily on Max FM.
Are you looking to enroll in healthcare coverage or change plans? I can help. Hello, this is Denise, Reedsburg Area Medical Center consumer advocate and marketplace specialist. The healthcare open enrollment period is now through December 15th. I'm specially trained to help you enroll in healthcare coverage, and my assistance is completely free. Give me a call at 768-6132 or visit ramchelp.com. Reedsburg Area Medical Center, going beyond the expected in healthcare.
Here's a hint. At U.S. Cellular, you can get 4 free phones and 4 lines for $90 a month, so you can give your family the gift of connection.
How about the gift of good-smelling soap?
They buy their own soap. They want 4 free phones.
Maybe I'll get
4 free phones.
4 free phones.
Get 4 free phones and 4 lines for $90 a month. U.S. Cellular, built for us.
Terms apply. Visit cellplus.com for details. Here's another hint. Get $100 towards accessories with each smartphone purchase. Visit your local U.S. Cellular store in Baraboo, the Dells, and Reedsburg.
Water Street Social Club, one of the area's newest eatery, features craveable appetizers, mouth-watering pasta, pizzas, salads, smash burgers, and so much more. Try their Bavarian pretzel, some delicious roasted Brussels sprouts with bourbon bacon jam, or delicious dumplings served with an amazing sauce. Join them on New Year's Eve for a scrumptious prime rib dinner and live music by the Mannish Boys Blues Band at 9 p.m. Champagne toast at midnight. Dive into Water Street Social Club at 550 Water Street in Prairie du Sac today.
Welcome to the ninth day of the Max FM 12 Deals of Christmas. Baraboo Music in downtown Baraboo. They offer a full line of music instruments for sale, such as guitars, amps, drums, keyboards, band instruments, sheet music, and more. They also offer repairs on some instruments and lessons taught by private instructors, including guitar, ukulele, piano, and percussion. Go to maxfmbigdeals.com and purchase $25 gift certificates for just $12.50. Today only with the Max FM 12 Deals of Christmas.
The holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with 99.7 Max FM.
Ho, ho, ho.
Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest with 99.7 Max FM.
99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant joined by Seth Taft from downtown Baraboo. Seth, how are you doing today?
I am staying warm. How about you, Dave?
I am trying to do the same. You know, it is getting to be that time of year. And, you know, we're in the full holiday swing, aren't we? What's going on?
You know, we are in the full holiday swing. So much merriment and delight in our own very own Bedford Falls. Let's be frank, how magical it is this time here in downtown Baraboo. So this weekend is feeling very merry. We've got a lot of activities, events from the Very Merry Holiday Fair at the Baraboo Arts Building, Christmas at the Mansion at the historic Van Orn Mansion by the Sauk County Historical Society. And of course, we've got our traditional horse wagon rides, Santa visits at the Al Ringling Theater, and all shopping and dining galore.
It sounds like a very busy weekend ahead, but it is that holiday season. So let's talk about the Very Merry Holiday Fair. When does that start? What are the hours?
Yeah, so the Very Merry Holiday Fair starts at noon on Friday at the Baraboo Arts Building. So it goes from noon until 6 p.m. And it has a particular theme that goes with it, too. It's called Celebrate Your Inner Santa. So come dressed up with some Santa swag, and maybe later that evening you'll get a chance to meet the big man right there at the Baraboo Arts Building, and it's filled with so many amazing artisans, crafters, and some local businesses there, too. I believe over 60 will be
there. Wow, that's a lot of people to be there. It'll be a great time. And what else is going on over the weekend?
Let's see. Then it continues also into Saturday for the Very Merry Holiday Fair, and that will go from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m., and that also has its own separate theme. It's called Plaid Saturday. So don your festive plaid for those awesome visits and steals for the holiday shopping at the Very Merry Craft Fair. Again, that is from 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. And then starting on Friday as well, we have Christmas at the Mansion at the Sauk County Historical Society's Van Orn Mansion. So all the beautiful historic rooms in the mansion decorated from top to bottom, each with its own Christmas tree. I believe this year's theme is a Wisconsin Christmas. So, of course, you know, there's going to be some Wisconsin cheese theme somewhere hiding in.
We have the horse-drawn wagon rides going on Saturday downtown Baraboo. That's from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., sponsored by Max FM. Santa at the Al Ringling Theater on Saturday. What time?
That is also from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And so this is the second to last time you'll get to meet Santa Claus. So be sure to make that list. Go in, talk to him, make sure you're on the naughty or nice list. Be sure you're nice. Strongly encourage you to be on the nice list this year. And again, it's a beautiful time to meet Santa Claus in the beautiful historic Al Ringling.
And then on Sunday, we have one more event going on at the Al Ringling Theater on Sunday afternoon. And what is that, Seth?
I believe that is the school choir concert, correct?
Yep, the Baraboo High School will be at the Al Ringling Theater Sunday afternoon. All the festive things happening in downtown Baraboo. So many things.
Right? It's very merry, really strongly bold, italicized, underlined, very merry holiday season in downtown Baraboo. It's great to have the community come together to make this come alive.
It is, Seth, and we appreciate you stopping in. We know you're a busy guy. We'll try to get you back in next week to talk about the final weekend before Christmas.
I know, right? Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to having you back. Thank you so much for joining us, Seth. And if people want more information about what's going on in downtown Baraboo, where can they find that?
Good question, Dave. You can find that on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, or as well as downtownbaraboo.com.
Awesome. Best places to go right there. Seth, thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. This is Dave Grant with 99.7 Max FM.
Sports is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts of Baraboo.
The NCAA Women's Volleyball Regionals get underway today. I'm Bill Scott with sports. Wisconsin entering the field of 16 teams for the 12th consecutive season. They'll take on Texas A&M in Lincoln, Nebraska tonight. The Marquette Golden Eagles will take their show to State College, Pennsylvania, and face second overall seed Penn State this afternoon. Packers have one more workout today before heading to Seattle to take on the Seahawks in Sunday night football action. Seattle's 8-5, winners of four straight. The 9-4 Packers trying to bounce back from last week's loss at Detroit. Last night, the Rams held off the 49ers 12-6 on a rainy night in Santa Clara. Kyren Williams rushed for 108 yards, and Josh Carty booted four field goals in the win. The Hockey Badgers close out the first half of their season this weekend. They'll play the first of a two-game series at Michigan tonight. Bucks headed to Las Vegas, where they'll meet Atlanta tomorrow in the NBA Cup semifinals. Bill Scott, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Partly cloudy and a little warmer today. We'll get to around 18 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, 14. Tomorrow, cloudy with some snow in the morning, then rain in the afternoon. Our high 37 on Sunday, mostly cloudy. with a high right around 40. Celebrate the holidays with a Hallmark-style Christmas in Alexandria, Minnesota. You can find out more at explorealex.com. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, 4 below zero. 99.7
It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. I'm Maddie Jones. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, will join us in just moments. We're getting ready for the Green Bay Packers at the Seahawks Sunday Night Football. It's going to be a great discussion and hopefully an even better game. Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance.
Oakwood Fruit Farm wants to thank everyone for another incredible season. As the farm closes its doors for the year, they'd like to express their gratitude for your support and remind you how much they value being a part of your traditions. From everyone at Oakwood Fruit Farm, happy holidays. They look forward to welcoming you back next fall for more fresh fruit, family fun, and wonderful memories. Oakwood Fruit Farm, where every season brings something special. See you next year.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun. Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for...
From small-town businesses to large multi-state operations, Tricor Insurance and Auto Owners Insurance have industry expertise that can cover all types of businesses.
Having an insurance agency that understands our business is a real benefit. They know our people. It's something Tricor does really well.
Tricor's in-depth knowledge of insurance, regulation, compliance, and safety consulting is here to help your business succeed. Working with leading insurance companies like Auto Owners Insurance, they'll be there when you need them most. Visit TricorInsurance.com to learn more about Tricor Insurance Cycle of Care.
It's time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, joins us for a sixth NFL season. Chris is a two-time national best-selling author who has covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then as a sports columnist at the Green Bay Press Gazette, and now in his 24th season as the host of Sportsline, 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM, brought to you by Tricor Insurance, and we also have to mention Oakwood Fruit Farm, officially closed for the season. They thank everybody for a wonderful 2024 and, of course, always looking forward to another year. They never rest over at Oakwood Fruit Farm. So thank you to them. And, Chris, good morning to you. How's it going in Green Bay today? Are you as cold as we are around here?
Well, I got to tell you, it is cold. And last night I was thinking about this on my way from the radio station home after the show, and actually just the little walk from the station to the car. What would the Miami Dolphins have done in this weather? I mean, they were cold the 24th of November, which actually by this comparison is balmy. I just had a chuckle at that. I thought, boy, they'd be peeling dolphins off the off the surface, off the bench, off wherever they're stuck, because they but maybe they want to just get out of there. But a bunch of pops
kind of felt like we were doing that anyway, watching their reaction over on the sideline during that game. But this week the Green Bay Packers will be traveling to Seattle. You know what I think is kind of crazy about this game? It's a side note, but I know a lot of people who made the trip to Seattle for this particular game. I mean, it's not like Seattle is balmy this time of year, probably a lot warmer than what we have here, but you know, it's not exactly a tropical climate like if they were playing in Florida or in Louisiana. But I know a lot of people who made their way to Seattle for this particular game. It must be that Seahawks-Packers allure that has them all going, because this has been a battle for a few different years. In fact, the Green Bay Packers have not won in Seattle since Aaron Rodgers' first year as quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. That's a statistic for you.
Ooh, yeah, that'll cheer me up on a cold, cold morning for sure.
Absolutely. Wow.
Seattle's actually what they're looking at Sunday, 48 for the high, winds 5 to 10, which is no big deal.
Sure.
And about a 40% chance of rain later on in the day. So the closer it gets to kickoff, you might have some light rain here and there.
Sure.
Occasional showers. Shock. Seattle. Green and it rains all the time. Cause and effect, maybe. I don't know. But yeah, you know, the thing with Seattle, I got to say, though, I mean, everyone talks about going there and the weather and all that. It is a really cool city in terms of just kind of hip. Now, I don't know how much, been a few years since I've been there, but I mean, when you can go with Cliff Crystal, the Packers historian now, and Pete Doherty to a tavern in Seattle that had, I'm going to guess, over 200 on tap, different kind of beers. And Cliff was in a good mood that night. He said, I'm not going to go for the record. Sample everyone. But you talk about a lot of fun in that city. And really some great football history for being an expansion team. All the way from Dave Craig to Jim Zorn to one from Wisconsin, one played for the Packers.
Yep.
And you think about Jackson Smith and Jigba getting to Sunday night's game with the succession of four straight games with his yard totals. And not that they're anything crazy or whatever, but he's tying guys like Steve Largent. You know, you're going way back. So a lot to talk about. It's a huge game. And just as a side note, too, the last three road games of the season at the Lions, at Seattle, at Minnesota, those three teams on the road could very well be the playoff lineup, provided you keep winning.
Yes. I mean, and this is kind of a big week for this young Packers team, right? Because if they win on Sunday night, they're essentially in the playoffs. I mean, there's a pretty good chance they are already, but this just kind of clinches things for them.
Well, the scenario is a tie. You needed a tie from the Niners and Rams last night to make that sure. happen, and then the Falcons losing to the Raiders, and I know Kirk Cousins would do his part to make that come true. But
yes.
Other than that, there was no sin. And I think that's a good thing where there's nothing riding on it right. in terms of the seed or trying to get that yep. number one seed. It's focused totally on this week, this game, yes. this opponent, as it should be.
And I love that mentality. I think that changes a lot for teams. I mean, and this Matt LaFleur team, and in years past, at this point of the year, they already have that playoff mentality where it's win or go home. And we see Matt LaFleur implement that early on. Now, I think this is also a really important week for the Green Bay Packers because they essentially need to prove that they can beat a division leader on the road, something that they would have to do in the playoffs at least two times. If they really are truly serious about making a Super Bowl run. And we talked about it earlier this week. We talked about it last week. This is a young team who has yet to really prove that they can beat one of the division leaders. Now, they've done pretty well against the NFC West at this point. I mean, really, you beat the Seahawks on Sunday night. You've made a clean sweep of the NFC West. But I think that would just be a confidence builder that they need and maybe a confidence booster for the fans as well, right? We've seen them come so close against the Lions. We saw them kind of pull within an arm's reach of the Vikings the first go around. But I think as fans, you really need to see them bring the power and be able to beat a division leader, even if it happens to be a weaker division like the NFC West.
Well, I like the fact that the order of the games, okay, so Detroit, you wanted to come out of there with a win. However, with what the Lions did defensively, especially early in the game, they basically erased the entire first half for the Packers yeah. offense. I mean, when you have three pass completions and an entire half and you're Jordan Love and the Packers, that says a lot about how good the Lions defense, depleted yep. or otherwise, was that night. But in terms of silent count, handling a hostile crowd, the crowd yeah. noise, seeing how defenses are going to try to use that to their favor, you got a textbook example with the Lions a week ago, mm-hmm. Thursday night. So I think with that prep work now, Matt LaFleur has talked this week about mechanisms and tools to use with the silent count and all of that. So they should be as prepared can be for what they're to encounter at Seattle on Sunday night, just somewhat because of what they did, with the Lions and the close but no cigar. I think the team's confidence is fine. I really, really do. If there's doubt, I think they keep that very well hidden. But as Jordan Love said this week, we don't fear anybody. And he didn't yeah. say it with fingers crossed and all that. He meant it. Because they do know that they need to look within to yeah. find the answers. And that's why Seattle sets up as a perfect opponent, because they are a team that is hell-bent on not beating yeah. themselves.
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
They will make you earn it. They'll beat you if you give them any kind of opportunity and opening. And they love throwing the football all around the place. It's a fairly interesting dynamic in Seattle right now.
And the Green Bay Packers are about as healthy as you could expect coming out of that Lions game, or at least that's how it looks as of practice at practice right now. It looks like Jaire Alexander has been a full go so far this week. Edrin Cooper is back practicing. He's been limited, so his status is maybe a little bit more up in the air, and maybe they're going to be more careful with Jaire. Javon Bullard, though, getting Jaire back would be huge, because Javon Bullard has been a no practice this week, obviously with that ankle injury he sustained during the Lions game. You've also got guys like Luke Musgrave, whose window is now open for practicing to rejoining the team after being put on IR. That's huge. And I wanted to get your take on this, because Evan Williams is still in concussion protocol. He's been practicing, so we're going to hope that he can go on Sunday night as well. Romeo Doubs, though, this is interesting. This is like week two of practicing, but yet still in the concussion protocol. It's not often that you see guys practice for 2 weeks still in the concussion protocol and not able to go. Any insight for us on that, as far as, a guy who's seen a few things in the league? Is this as abnormal as it feels, or is it just maybe an anomaly this go around, or are they just being extra cautious with Romeo Doubs?
Well, I think in Doubs' case, it's concerning, because when, and we've kind of been conditioned to this, really pleased that the NFL takes it so seriously
yes.
and has the protocol that they follow, which ultimately ends up with an independent analysis or get together with the player from a doctor, from a medical doctor outside of the team. Mm-hmm. And they give it the okay to go. It seems counterintuitive that, hey, if you're able to practice, I know you're not getting hit, but if you're able to practice, you should be able to play. But apparently that's not the case. Some of the triggers and things that they have to determine, you know, that you're not in any kind of jeopardy by continuing to play, he has not been able to pass those. So, and it's interesting because this is the second week in a row now where Dobbs is practicing and all of that, but we can't guarantee he's going to play. Jair Alexander practicing again. Mm-hmm. For another week. He was a full participant last week, but not a full go.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I can't say for sure if Jair is going to be this week, Sunday, available, but I can't think of a better time to get him back. And certainly having Evan Williams, who, again, now with Williams, you assume he's going to be good to go and all that. He should be.
Yeah.
So they'll be okay there. But, you know, Javon Bullard was a loss on defense, but you've got to be able to overcome these things.
Yeah.
And I will say in terms of the health, Maddie, just to look at what the 49ers endured this season, Aaron Hill and the strength and conditioning staff that the Packers bamboozled the Niners out of, you can say it's just coincidence. The injuries, oh, you know, guy falls on your leg, whatever. That has nothing to do with strength, conditioning, and all that. But you know what? Youth is a real deal, I think, in health. I mean, anybody who's pushing up in years can tell you, you recover quicker, you're less likely to get hurt in the first place regarding something crazy. And that, in addition to, I have to give Aaron Hill and his staff credit because I don't think, other than maybe the season opener, the Packers have looked gassed in any game that they've played or just worn out and tired.
Agreed.
And with the health issues, maybe it's just dumb luck that they're healthy as they can be. But between the youth and Matt LaFleur's approach, which is, I know, you know, Maddie, since day one, really been great with the players and mindful of their health. There are reasons why they're the healthiest. They're one of the healthiest teams right now, and it's not just all a coincidence.
Yes, no, I totally agree. I think they handle it well, and I know fans get a little on edge when a guy, you know, isn't coming back onto the field as quickly as they'd like, but that's just all part of the protocol, right? And we know the Packers are very cautious with those injuries, and they would rather have somebody come out fully healthy and ready to go full out for long term than do what they did with Jair during that Bears game where he's able to play 10 snaps and then all of a sudden you don't see him again for weeks on end. They don't like to play that game with their players. It's hard on their health. It's hard on the team. And so they like to make sure that players are fully 100% healthy. And I know it sucks if you play fantasy, but at the same time, you know, in the real world, we want the players to be on the field as much as they absolutely can. So with that being said, let's start out on...
I want to mention real quick, I'm sorry, just with Jair real quickly, because I get so frustrated with fans who think that he just doesn't want to be out there.
I know.
I don't
understand. It's maddening.
That mentality, you don't get to where he is in life without not wanting to be out there. I mean, that's just not part of the deal. But my hope is, you know, he's one of the older players at 27.
Yes.
And Matt LaFleur, everything short of rolling the eyes when asked about Alexander, because I think either he doesn't know or he's just going to be not
tired of answering.
Tired of answering that. But he's 27, but guess what? His birthday is a red letter day. He turns 28 February 9th, and he plans to be playing cornerback in New Orleans that day for the Packers. So Jair's got a lot of big motivation, and he knows maybe in Green Bay his time might be coming to an end, and that means a new contract somewhere else. He has a ton of motivation, but he's the linchpin in the back end of that defense. I mean, he's key. You look at the Cowboys playoff game last year, swoops in for that interception after not really seeming like he played for forever. So I haven't given up on Alexander, and I know the team and Jordan Love, you know, yesterday just talking about how, you know, we really need to have all our guys, our best guys back. So he's not trying to dodge it either.
You know, I think it's interesting before we talk offense and defense here quickly, but I think it's interesting because, you know, over the years, we've always talked about how a team goes by how their quarterback is, right? I mean, we saw that time and again with Aaron Rodgers. If he came out already rolling his eyes before he got onto the field, you kind of knew how the team was going to perform that day, right? I mean, and Jordan Love, it's hard to get a read on that guy whatsoever. I think he's just even keel all the time. But when you look at this Packers defense, we talk talk about, you know, Jair being the guy. If Jair's having kind of an off day, that whole defense is having kind of an off day. I mean, just kind of watch the pattern with Jair back there. And McKinney, I think, has helped even that flow a little bit this year, just because he is another consummate professional back there. But at the same time, if Jair's out of position, he's having a rough game. It seems like the entire defensive back and sometimes even the line is having a rough day. And so we talk a little bit about the quarterback being a little bit in charge and giving the mood to the team. But I think in on the defensive side for the Packers, Jair just being that long-term veteran who likes to talk. He's got the big mouth. We know that. He's always in the face and always, you know, jawing at the other players. I think he kind of brings that to the defense as well. But, you know, I'm always excited to see Jair out there. There have been times I've been a little hard on him, but not every player is going to be perfect every time. And he still makes his team better when he's on the field. And so
well, he not only makes them better in the back end, but when they have trouble generating a pass rush, every extra half a tick that you can stay in coverage and glued to somebody, you can make your pass rush look maybe even better than it is. So it kind of works. Because at this point of the season, I mean, I'm hopeful, fingers crossed, that the pass rush is going to come alive and Rashawn Gary is going to be a beast. And I kind of think that's whistling in the wind a little bit, but we'll see. But there's no question Gary's better when Alexander's there and vice versa.
Yes, absolutely. And let's jump in right now. Let's start with the offensive side of the ball, right? Because we've seen this team spit and sputter a little bit this year. Red zone has been a little bit of an issue. And the Seahawks defense has increasingly gotten better as the season has wore on, especially after the bye. They moved a few players around. They were able to make a few changes and tweaks to the defense, and they've been playing better. Now, the Seahawks actually have the number one passing defense without play action. So I feel like this is going to be one of those weeks where you're going to have to start out using a lot of play action if you want to move the ball, because those straight drop back situations, those are going to be tough. And the Packers are going to have to basically lean into early down play action if they really want to get anywhere against the Seahawks, at least in my astute analysis or whatever you want to call it. But I have been watching a few highlights of the Seahawks, and play action definitely yet, even with the improvements that they've made, because really when you look at the offenses that the Seahawks team has played since the bye, the Packers are probably coming in as the best offense that they have seen since they made tweaks to the defense. So what do you think the Packers need to do this week to move the ball, and what do you foresee as play action? Maybe hopefully this is the week we get our Jaden Reed wish and see him get the ball a little bit more.
Well, you know, it's like the squeaky wheel, should it get the oil? Probably does, whether it's intentionally or just subconsciously, because the receiver's complaining about not getting it, like A.J. Brown or Debo Samuel or others. But I will say the play callers, it's a big deal. And again, a lesson learned against Detroit, I believe anyway. It's like the old, don't run a reverse before you even run wide once. Because they're standing, you know, what have you set up? And the Packers, to your point with play action, it's a great point. Against the Lions, they're coming out play action looking to throw. The Lions are like, you haven't established a run. Yeah, our game plan is designed to take away the run and make you throw, but you still have to do it more than just on reputation.
Yes.
You know, because after a half a quarter, after three, four possessions, if you're not running the ball at all, you know, they're going to rethink things. That's what we call in-game adjustments all the time, Maddie. And I think for the Packers last week, a little play action is going to freeze them enough. The threat of Jacobs, you know what, when you're a really well-coached team and you stick to what you do and you're disciplined and you get the break on the silent count and the noise, because they definitely had an edge getting off the line of scrimmage against the Packers early on, especially. Not the best elements to dynamics to be throwing the football until you have Jacobs get them for 8, get them for 12, get them for 9. And now they're kind of back on their cleats and, fake the handoff and go get them. And I think I'm going to say this about Matt LaFleur. There is a tendency at times to overthink a little bit. And on offense especially, you look at Jaxon Smith-Njigba, the most dynamic slot receiver in the NFL in his second year.
Yeah,
and you know why part of that is? He lines up in the slot every single time.
Yes.
And he gets a chance to work on his craft, perfect it, learn the subtleties. Jaden Reed's a gadget guy still, Maddie, and it's like, you know, but I run more sideline to sideline than I do downfield.
You know, and to that hand with Jaden Reed, you know, we last week spent some time trying to figure out where the heck the guy keeps going. And Matt LaFleur actually was asked about that this week, and I'm not sure if you caught his answer or not.
Well, his first question of the out of the
game. Yes. And it was interesting because it sounds like there was plans to get Jaden Reed more involved this week. But, I mean, they only ran 44 total offensive plays against Detroit. And so when you're running that few plays, obviously some things are going to get lost in the mix. And he pointed out some of the obvious ones, like the drop pass and, you know, the big penalty that he did get that was actually called on Detroit's defense against Jaden Reed. I'll put it like that. But he kind of went through in his game plan the points where they were trying to get him more involved. And it seems like there was an idea that they did want to have him on the field more, that they did consider him to be a threat, but it just did not pan out for obvious reasons against the Detroit Lions. So maybe that was our first inkling that Matt LaFleur has been listening to the fan outcry on social media, because I'm sure he sits around and does that all day long, like he has anything better to do, right? It seems like maybe he was, you know, he also realized that Jaden Reed has been kind of cast to the side over the last few weeks, especially when having such a strong start to the season.
Well, you know, you go to Seattle and you're in a downpour and you forgot your umbrella or your raincoat. Were you prepared? Cause and effect. I'm in Seattle. I'm soaking wet now. Great. And I think with to LaFleur's point, and I'd dance around it with him a little bit. I'd challenge him on it maybe, but
sure.
To a degree that cause and effect. Yeah, Jaden Reed wasn't involved in 44 plays only, so he couldn't, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
If you run the football out of the gate and you get that established truly, and you get Jordan Love some simple, easy completions a la Brett Favre, a la Aaron Rodgers, a la a lot of quarterbacks early on, things are going to probably go your way when you get a first down or two and you get a little bit of reason for some momentum. So, you know, the absence of Jaden Reed is saying – you know, we couldn't use him because we didn't run enough plays. Well, if you had him more involved in those plays. So I do think LaFleur is going to have to take a serious look at that. The Romeo Doubs impact certainly is big, but come on.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to be able to overcome that part of it. I think they look at it as Doubs helps Jaden Reed get loose. Well, wait a minute now. Or Christian Watson. I don't know. I think there's some assumptions there that may be faulty. There might be some still searching fire where they're trying to probe and figure out exactly how they're best suited to play offense. But to the point that started all this play action, I do think there might be a level of predictability that they need to really put a check on. And I think maybe they have in terms of when Wicks is in, boy, it's a run a lot of the time.
Yes. Yes.
When Reed is in, it's either a run to Reed but you're using him as a decoy. And one of the plays that LaFleur lamented, come on, coach, when you have him try to run through the garbage in an offense on the defensive side and they get a free shot on that guy coming through, you think those D-line, especially well-coached teams like Detroit, they're going to let him run free in there? They're going to stop doing what they're doing in terms of trying to get to the QB to flatten them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know,
they already 150 your skill players is on the ground because I flattened him. Now who are you going to throw to?
It's actually interesting because we've always talked about how Matt LaFleur coaches his best when his back is to the wall. And his back was to the wall when Jordan Love got hurt early in the season, right? And you have Malik Willis starting. And we know that he kept a lot of the run plays that he designed for that Malik Willis quarterbacked team. I'd like to see him go back to the entire book, honestly. I mean,
Malik Willis. No, I'm kidding.
not that Jeez, part of it. I'm Jordan Love. Joking. But at the same time, some of those plays that you had Jaden Reed on, he was a huge factor when Malik Willis was the quarterback. Huge factor for that offense. Go back to that playbook. That's what I would personally do. Now, you don't have to use the whole thing because I know Jordan Love's got his special skill set as well. Bring some of those back, though, because those were the kind of plays where Matt LaFleur is at his best and his offense was operating at its best. And any quarterback could run what Matt LaFleur runs, right? I mean, that's why we all love Matt LaFleur, because you can basically put any quarterback in, and it, just like the Shanahan system, it's supposed to be friendly for the quarterback. Jordan Love can't execute the same plays that Malik Willis is. I call shenanigans if somebody tells me different.
Well, somebody named Jordan Love, because when they said, well, do you think about special packages, Malik Willis, maybe Jordan, did you recall? It was a pretty snippy answer from Jordan Love by his standards. I can do all those things. He straight up said, I can do whatever Malik Willis can. Well, you know, not when it comes to the fast. Run game, not quite. But
I was going to say, I love Jordan Love. He doesn't have quite the speed or the legs that Malik Willis has.
And
I mean,
you don't
that
want
would
that
be...
guy running downfield over and over. Right? Either. I mean, not that Willis is expendable and all that, but come on, you know.
I mean, then
225 solid. You know.
I mean, honestly, then you're no better than the Saints with Taysom Hill over the years. I mean, and that just got old watching that. And I get now the dude's on IR, so we aren't going to have to worry about that in a couple of weeks. But at the same time, when teams do that, I mean, you know what's coming. I mean, it's not like it's special after the first couple of times, is it? I don't find it to be that special. I just kind of find it to be annoying. Like, if that's how you have to win, like, what are we doing here? Play the game. Play the game the way it's supposed to be played. I find it a little bit annoying. But hey, I'm not a coach in the NFL, so what do I know? Now, again, with this run game, as we talk about Josh Jacobs, before we pivot over to the defense, I don't know much about the defensive line of the Seattle Seahawks. So do you think this is a good week for Josh Jacobs to pick up yards? Is it going to be tough sledding for him? Enlighten us on that one.
Teams have been really good getting wide, getting outside of their tackles to pick up some yards. Now, that not necessarily is Josh Jacobs' forte, although there's nothing he can't do on the field. Jonathan Hankins, who you recall from his time at Giants and Vikings, big dude, plunk him down the middle of that line. Jaron Reed, former Packer, middle of that line. And both those guys a little long in the tooth. But, you know, some of those big D tackles, Maddie, we've talked about this before. They play for forever.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that are just God's gift. I mean, Calais Campbell.
He's still playing.
Still play. But some of these guys, and Reed is one that is still able to get after it, and Hankins, especially run early downs. So I would imagine if I'm Seattle and Mike McDonald, who's a pretty good defensive head coach, I mean, he knows his stuff, and it's been reflected in their last four wins, they're going to make darn sure that Jacobs doesn't get off early, especially between the tackles. That's going to be buttoned up. Can you get wide on them? How do you do that? How do you stretch the defense vertically, you know, horizontally, I should say, versus vertically? But I do think Jacobs is going to be one of those. You're going to bang away like the woodpecker, pecking away, and then all of a sudden, boop, break through to the other side, and you're happy. I see that. I love LaFleur's commitment to the run game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Martin's my partner in the afternoon, and I were talking, and I asked him because he's a stat freak and he's got a really good memory. When you're 30 years old, you should. But I said, how many passes? Do you know off the top how many passes, completions, and attempts Jordan Love had in the 48-32 win over Dallas? And he thought about it. He said, I don't know, 28, 29, 16 of 21.
Wow.
And when you look at what they did that day and gashing the Cowboys in all manners, 21 attempts, you'd never hardly ever believe that. But when you see what they're doing now in the last four games with Jordan Love, have Max do a little study on attempts versus total points at the end of the game. Passing attempts versus points. The Packers, in their last four collectively, have scored like 40 more points than pass attempts.
Wow. That's
and
crazy.
And if you saw 34-31, wouldn't you say Jordan Love had to throw a 35-30 at least?
I mean, 20, honestly,
12 for 20, Maddie.
I love the fact that Matt LaFleur is so committed to the run, which makes Jordan Love's life easier, right? I mean, it essentially does. Yes. And then it opens up those big passes to Christian Watson downfield. I mean, that's why you essentially run it down their throats as much as you can, that and the clock. And then hopefully you can get the lead and wear down a defense. But then it starts opening up things downfield for guys like Watson, hopefully Reed, Dobbs when he's healthy, even Tucker Kraft barreling down the field, right? I mean, it opens up all of those things. So I love the commitment to the run. That to me is old school football, though. And I'm always going to get behind that. Now, let's talk a little bit about the defense, because one of the anomalies that we've seen over the course of the last couple of weeks is the Packers' inability to protect the middle of the field. And Geno Smith is pretty good at, you know, also throwing towards the middle of the field. Now, I don't know if it's a personnel issue. I don't know, but this has been a really weak spot for the Green Bay Packers. Do you see Geno Smith and the Seahawks continuing that path? And let's be honest, Geno Smith has looked a lot better the last few weeks. Still not going to be in the top echelon of quarterbacks in the NFL, although he's good. I'm not going to say that. I mean, we've seen what guys like Tommy DeVito have been able to do to a Green Bay Packers defense, again, under a whole different regime, at least defensively. But middle of the field is still a little bit of an issue this year. So is that an area where you foresee them trying to make life difficult for the Packers defense on Sunday?
Well, I would think that's going to where they're going to attack. The way they attack is the interesting thing, because with Noah Fant and their tight ends, he doesn't have a touchdown catch yet this season.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of crazy. But the imbalance, the Seattle Seahawks, offensively, they pass a ton, but not that many. They're third in passing yards and 26th, I think, in passing offense. It's really weird because of the top 26 in touchdown passes.
Yeah.
They've rushed for 16 touchdowns, so they can run when they get inside the 10. But Geno, his last four games has kind of mirrored Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Only two interceptions. Now three touchdowns and two interceptions. It tells you how they want to play. Even though they throw that much, when they do get close, then they'll run it and stick to it. But it has been pretty much just as good as Geno Smith has played. Like the passer rating, 110 last time out.
Mm-hmm.
The big win against Arizona. He's been in the 90s the two games before that. So it's kind of vintage Geno Smith stuff where he never wows in. He's eternally, perpetually underrated.
Right.
Except for the times he beats in, you go, dang.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. Now, the Packers are actually, as we talk about this middle of the field, I thought this was an interesting stat because the eye test and the statistic are not matching up. The Packers are actually ninth in defense defending the middle of the field. Now, facing the Lions and the Dolphins back-to-back weeks probably skewed the perception for fans just a little bit. I mean, you even have to look at what Trevor Lawrence did to him in the middle of the field a few weeks back with the Jaguars. Now, it's not entirely true that Geno Smith has been good at attacking the middle of the field statistically, at least not where the Packers are vulnerable. Where he has been really, really good, and I think this is why you want Jair back and why you want Xavier McKinney back there, and it's too bad that they're going to do a rotation of Stokes and Carrington, according to the head coach, because Geno has been the best deep ball thrower this year, at least one of them, I should say, but he's actually 24th in dropbacks on those intermediate throws, according to Next Gen Stats. So the midfield stuff, he's actually more vulnerable where the Packers look like they are vulnerable, but they're actually better, even if they're not passing the eye test, at least according to the statistics. So try to make heads or tails of all of that Sunday.
Living and dying with the big play with DK Metcalf, who they take their shots to. How they attack the middle of the field, though, going back to that a little bit, Jackson Smith and Jigba and Tyler Lockett. His yards per catch is down, and he's near the end of the line. I think 31, maybe right in that. But he's still dangerous because for an absence of targets, he still factors in because he converts first downs.
Yeah,
he's a chain mover for them. A lot of teams like the run game or the tight end in that regard, or even the slot guy, Jackson Smith and Jigba. But he's more the big play guy in Lockett, who will line up and they'll go two wide, two in the slot. Four receivers on you and not have a tight end out or split fan out to one side in the slot. But it's working in the middle of the field with those two receivers. They're undersized guys, but they're quick as cats. I mean, Lockett used to be.
Yep.
Smith is. Smith and Jigba is. And I think that is the area. And again, it comes back to it's not the safeties. It's the inside linebacker.
Yeah, absolutely. Getting Edgerrin Cooper, and I'm not sure he's quite there yet because he's only been limited this week with that hamstring injury. But again, I'm going to say it. He is, I think, a key for this linebacking and the middle of the field. Quay Walker has been much better. Still not the fastest guy out there. McDuffie is capable, not.